Obviously, our theme this year is be the salt and the light. Salt of the earth and light of the world, and they're behind me there. And of course, the reference is there. You can read that and study that if you'd like. And if you did not get a calendar for the year, they're out there on the track rack. Obviously, they're in the bigger bin. And I've got things on there that we're going to try to do this year, some new stuff on there, and some things that we're going to try out. I think it's in March, I believe it is, that there's a wild game supper on there that I'm going to go to, and obviously you're welcome to come with me. I'm thinking about doing something like that maybe next year, so I wanted to go and just see how they did things like that, and I believe they've had those here in the past and so forth. But I like to eat wild game, I like to shoot wild game, and so any way to get the gospel out, that we'll try to do that. But anyway, so that's out there, and of course the tracts are out there if you'd like to put some of those in your purse, ladies, and some of you can put some of those in your truck or car, men, and so forth. But anyway, we appreciate all the efforts it took for the bulletins and the banners and the screens and things like that, just to keep that in front of us. And so last week, I mean, I guess not the first Sunday of the year because we weren't able to, but the second Sunday of the year, I basically preached a sermon on it. And then I believe it was last week we talked about, you know, because it says, the title of my sermon is this: we need the Spirit, talking about the Holy Spirit, not to lose our savor and our source. And of course, that's kind of piggybacking off the first sermon that I preached on salt and light, because the Bible says the salt can lose its savor. It can get good for nothing, except, you know, you can trod it under your feet, and obviously that has taken place. Yesterday I swept the leftover salt off my sidewalks at home because I was getting tired of trodding it under my feet. Amen. But anyway, we can lose our savor, and that salt would be good for nothing. And of course, that light, it needs a source. And we know that back in that day was the oil in the lamp. That's what the source was from. And so a salt can lose its savor and be good for nothing. A light can run out of its source and it not shine. And so we saw last week, we preached on the Word of God, the Scriptures. So what we're doing is we need the Spirit not to lose our savor or our source. Because the salt can lose its savor and the light can lose its source. And so we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. Last week we talked about how that we need the Scriptures to help us not to lose our savor and not to lose our source. Today we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit not to lose our savor and not to lose our source. I remember the first time I heard this, I think it was in a Bible college class, and I didn't know this. And some of you are going to like, I knew that forever, but when it's capitalized S in the Bible, when it's talking about Spirit, and the S is capitalized, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. Obviously, when it's lowercase S, it's talking about the Spirit of man, our spirit. And so today we're going to talk about the big capital S, the Holy Spirit. And we need the Holy Spirit. We can't survive just on our spirit. You know, we can turn over new leaves. We can be determined. We can have a good outlook. But that's not going to help us keep our savor, and that's not going to help us keep our source. We need the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to look at a few things. And it says here, how do we keep from losing our savor? How do we keep from losing our source? First of all, we have to be saved. We have to have the Savior. That's where we get the Savor from, and that's He is the source. But then He gives us the Spirit that we're going to talk about today. He gives us the Scriptures, and He gives us the service. The church service, and we need all of that if we want to be the light or the salt in the light like we should be. We need the Holy Spirit, we need the Bible, and we need church. Again, I think I gave this illustration when I was talking about that I taught a class when I was just out of Bible college. I had seventh, eighth, and ninth grade teen boys class, and if you know anything about that, that's a crazy time of life. All right, but 7th, 8th, and 9th, and they were what we said, they were the bus route boys. In other words, they didn't come to church with their parents. They didn't live in a Christian home. They came on the bus route. Praise the Lord, they came. A lot of them got saved, things like that. A lot of them heard the truth. But they didn't come trained. They didn't come with the Scripture already planted. They didn't come. And so it was rough. And I got to looking at that. I was like, you know, if you just did it time wise. We all have 24 hours in a day. Nobody gets any extra. We all have 365 or 366 out of every fourth year days and things like that. We all have that. And if you look at maybe spirituality and the world, the devil and their flesh. And I mean, I had them for 1 hour for Sunday school class. And in that hour, you know, you basically only taught 15, 20 minutes. You had snacks and you had this, that, and other things like that. So if you looked at it just time-wise, what spirituality was going in their life, and then the time-wise of what the world, the devil, and their flesh was going in their life, I mean, it was just like a little blip. All right? And in Hebrews 10:25, it talks about that, you know, we need not to forsake our assembling ourselves together. We need church. And then it goes on to say in the rest of that verse, and as we see the time getting worse, I'm paraphrasing here. We need more church. And in our day and time, a lot of people individually are just choosing less church for themselves. And lo and behold, there's churches that's choosing less church. You know, Sunday morning only, woohoo! That'd be a good gig for a pastor. Study one time, one sermon, and get paid the same amount. And, you know, that's great. It don't make sense to me, according to the Bible. Anyway, so we see here that we need the Scripture. We need the Spirit, and we need service. And so in our day and time, I would say, hey, come to all of them. Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And still, if you did the math, you would still have a lot less hours of spiritualness going into your life than you do this world, the flesh, and the devil. So we got to bounce that thing out. So we're looking at Acts 1:8, and we're talking about the Spirit. And it says here in Acts 1:8, but ye shall, and that word shall is all throughout the Bible. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We have these promises, and he uses that shall. And so we see here that God is promising us, but ye shall, I promise you, receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. So the first part of it is what we're going to talk about today. Here's God's promise that He will give us the Spirit. He will give us the power. Now, I'm going to preach about some things here in my introduction that I'm not against. Okay? Let me say that again. The things that I'm going to mention in my introduction, I am not against. What I want to show you is they're not a guarantee for the power of the Holy Spirit. I think we should do them. I do them all. But it's not like, okay, I did this, so guaranteed power of the Holy Spirit on my life. No. He says right here, okay, you can have it. And I'm going to give it to you. But basically what God says, I'll give it to you when you have the mindset and you have the opportunity to be the salt and the light. If you're not going to be the salt and you're not going to be the light, I'm just not going to give it to you. Because you really don't need it. This is why you need it. You need the power of the Holy Spirit so you can be the salt and be the light. But if you're not worried about being the salt and not worried about being the light and really don't have the mindset that you want to please God, He's like, I'm just going to keep my power. I don't want it to go to waste. Okay? It's talking about that, you know, tinkling cymbal and brass and, you know, I don't want it just to bing, 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 bing. You know? Obviously, the other people that hear it, it's going to fall on their heart. And he wants it to be there. So, I think you understand what I'm saying. My whole principle of this sermon today is I'm going to preach about some things that they're not. I don't want you to stop doing them if you're doing them. I actually want you to start doing them if you're not doing them. But that's not the guarantee. God says here, look, if you want to go over to Jerusalem and preach the gospel, I'm going to give you the power. If you want to go over to Judea, I'm going to give you the power. If you want to go to Samaria, I'm going to give you power. If you want to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, I'm going to give you power. So in other words, in our life, you say, okay, I'm not going to Jerusalem, I'm not going to Judea, I'm not going to Samaria, I'm not even going to the uttermost parts of the earth, so how does this apply to me? All right, you're supposed to be a light to your kids. So when you say, hey, I want to teach my kids the Word of God. Hey, I want to teach my kids that they ought to be a Christian and they ought to please God with their life. God says, woo, I'm going to give you my power because I want that done. And then if you say, hey, I have some neighbors that, you know, I don't know if they're saved or not. So I'm going to go over there and I'm going to invite them to church, or I'm going to give them a tracker. I'm going to witness to them. He says, I'll give you my power for that. If you're at work and something comes up and a question's asked and you're like, I'm not saying nothing. And you just sneak out. Or if you say, well, this is a great opportunity for me to shine and be the salt. God's given me an opportunity to say something. I want to say something, but I'm nervous. God says, I'll give it to you. I'll give you my power. I'll give you what to say. And so that's what he's talking about here. So God gives us the power, not just so we can have it. And he doesn't really say, okay, if you'll do this, 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 you'll dot these I's across these T's, you can have it. We can't earn it. Just like we can't earn salvation, we have to accept it by faith. You can't do a dot, an I across a T and guarantee yourself the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just not. You have to be doing what God wants you to do, and he'll give it to you. That's what this verse means. So we see here that God gives it to us when we need it. When we have that opportunity to be the preservant, to be the seasoning, to be that thing that melts the heart, to have that opportunity to shine. So when we teach our kids, he'll give it to us. When we teach a Sunday school class, he'll give it to us. Praise the Lord, when we preach a sermon, he'll give it to me. It's not my power. I haven't done dot this I and cross this T. No, he gave me this opportunity, and if he chooses to give the power of the Holy Spirit to me while I'm preaching, that's his prerogative. If we're going to be a testimony to anyone, if we're going to have iron sharpeneth iron, that's when God says, ye shall receive my Spirit. So, again, I'm going to say it one more time. I don't want you to stop doing this if you're doing it, and I want you to start doing it if you're not. I'm not against these things, but these things are not a guarantee for the power. So, we see here the Holy Spirit's power is available to everybody that is saved. And I think it helps to do these things. I think it hinders if we're not doing these things, because the Bible talks a lot about grieving the Spirit. All right, basically limiting the Holy One of Israel, tying his hands, grieving the Spirit. So I think the way we behave can benefit, or it can deteriorate getting the Holy Spirit. So we see here that the first thing as far as the introduction is this, and I'm just going to say it. Denominational difference does not guarantee you the power of the Holy Spirit. All right, there's some denominations out there that they think just because I'm a fill in the blank, I got the power. All right? Okay, when you walked in today, nothing went zip zappity zoop, and the power came into you. All right? So just because you're a Baptist and you're in a Baptist church, that's not a guarantee to have the power. I know some backslidden Baptists that hadn't seen the power of the Holy Spirit on their life in years. So it's not a denominational difference. So some people are like, well, I'm going to go to this church and we got the power. Well, I'm going to go to this church and we got the power. No church has the power. God has the power. And he says, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, I'll give it to you. So again, we can argue the denominational difference all day long. Okay? I'm a pastor of a Baptist church, so I think you know which way I lean. Okay? I've heard this argument. And I agree with it. Who baptized Jesus? John the Baptist. So what does that make Jesus? A Baptist. So I can say I'm going to be a Baptist and that guarantees me the power. No, it doesn't. Hey, I could put a big old B on my undershirt and open it up, and that's not a guarantee for zip-zoppity-zoop power. Okay? God says, look, if you want to be the salt and you want to be the light, I'm going to give you my power. But just because you're a Baptist, I'm not going to zip-zoppity-zoop you. Just because you're a Methodist or Catholic or whatever, I could just go down the whole denominational list. That's not a guarantee. But some think, oh, we're this. And so that's why we have the exclusion of the power of God. No, it's not. And so that argument is not a guarantee. So even in Baptist churches, there's differences. You got independent Baptists, you got Southern Baptists, you got Northern Baptists, you got General Baptists. Okay, which Baptist has it? It's not in the difference. Now, again, I think you should have it. And if you study the Bible, God will show you. But it says here, even Baptists have differences of opinion, and so many of them is not a guarantee for the power of the Holy Spirit. Here's an argument. Eternal security. Some people think you can, some people think you can't. I believe you can, so that's automatic power. Nope. I believe you can lose it, that's automatic power. Nope. Okay, there are differences on that. They believe different on that, but either side is not a guarantee of the power of the Holy Spirit. But if you want to be that, that's a guarantee. God says, If you're going to do that, I will. You shall receive power. So we see here, KJV, non-KJV. Argument. Okay, I believe it is power. I believe it's not power. No! Okay, it doesn't matter what you're toting today. That's not a guarantee of power. Because you could take somebody that's lost and give them one and stick it under your arm. Zip-zoppity-zoop. No. They have to be saved. They have to be wanting to do that. Then God says, you shall receive my power. Standards and non-standards. I mean, some people are against everything. Right? I'm against toothpaste, bless God. Please, don't be against toothpaste. Use it, all right? Well, we don't need teeth, and we need teeth brushes, not toothbrushes around here, so please use it. All right? But, I mean, some people, they're so far against everything, and they think that that's why they have the power of the Holy Spirit. But if they're not doing that, they can be separated from anything in this world and they're not going to have the power. Now, I'm for standards. I'm for come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing. I agree with all the separation. Don't be like the world. Don't be like the devil. Be a light. Be a testimony. Things like that. So if you're going to be, that's a guarantee you're going to get it. Here's another one. Closed communion or open communion. We believe in closed communion, so that gives us the power. And what closed communion is, basically just the saved church members can have it. All right? Open communion is if, I guess in Easter when we have the Lord's Supper the next time, if we had somebody visit that night and they were saved, born again, baptized believers from a like faith church, they can have it. All right? You got to be saved and baptized to eat it and take it, things like that. So, but some people, we're just closed. So that makes us stronger. That makes us more spiritual. That gives us the power. No, it doesn't. That's just your opinion. Fellowship, who we will and who we won't fellowship with. You know, I hate everybody, bless God. Me and God, that's it. I don't want fellowship with anybody, so I got more power than you. No, you don't. Okay. Now, the Bible does say, be careful who you fellowship with, because they might can influence you. If they're teaching a false doctrine and you fellowship with them and they're always giving that, you got to be careful. Now the Bible says, mark them and avoid them and have no fellowship with. I get that. But if I choose to have no fellowship with everybody, that doesn't promise me more power than anybody. But if I'm going to do that. So we're going to look. Here's the outline now. Number one, search for power. Search for power. Now, if you're a Christian and you want to be that, you ought to want it. Because you can't. You've lost your Savior if you don't have the power of the Holy Spirit. You've lost your source. You're not going to shine very much if you've lost the Holy Spirit, His power. Now, you can't lose Him once He saved you, but you can lose His power. So we see that that we ought to search for the power. So most of us search for this power. We don't search for the Holy Ghost. All right, this is where the devil messes people up. They want the power. They want the feeling. They want the ability, but they're really not talking about the Holy Spirit. They're just talking about the substance. And so they work so hard at working it up. They work so hard at doing this and this and this. Where God says, look, if you'll just have that mindset and you want to do that, then ye shall receive power. So they get focused in searching this power at every other avenue except just saying, okay, I want to be the salt and I want to be the light. So they're getting the cart before the horse. All right, they're getting the cart before the horse. The way I look at that phrase is we don't need the cart nor the horse. We need God. Right? And so a lot of people are searching for that power in certain things, in some of these things that we were talking about a while ago. And they're like, if I can do this, then I'll get the horse. No, we won't. So here's the Bible says in Proverbs 21:31, the horse is prepared against the day of battle, but safety is in the Lord. So he was talking about back in the Bible times when they did have an animal to ride and a sword or a spear to use. Yeah, a fast horse would be a benefit. Yeah, a sharp spear would be a benefit. But if you didn't have God's protection going across that field, it didn't matter how fast your horse is, how sharp your sword is, you're getting taken out. So, but the safety part is in God. So basically God says here, don't trust in your horse, trust in me. Don't trust in your spear. Trust in me. And so when we're looking for that power, let's not trust in whatever list that we just gave. Let's trust in God. Let's not trust in our abilities. Let's trust in God. So I've ridden my horse from the time I was a wee little boy till now, and I'm good at it. And I've sharpened this sword, and I've thrown it. And man, I'm trusting in that when I get out there. That's not going to be the power of God. And so again, we see that God says, look, have the mindset of being the salt and the light, and you shall receive power. We've allowed humanism to slip into Christian, or humanity to slip into Christianity when it comes to this. In other words, we put too much emphasis on the cart and the horse. Some people like this: if I can just get educated enough, I will have the power of the Holy Spirit. And I've heard it said like this: you can have so many degrees after your name that they call you a thermometer. Right? That does not mean you're going to have the power of God. Now, the Bible does say study to show yourself approved. So you can rightly divide this Word of God. You study. You meditate. You apply. I'm all for it. I'm all for education. Kids, don't tell your mom. Pastor said we could not go to school. I did not. All right? I'm just going to trust God. Okay? You know, and you might spell it wrong. But you have to have education. But that's not where the power's at. People are like, I'm going to this, and I'm going to go to seminary, and I'm going to go 8 years of this, and I'm going to that. And so guaranteed power, because look at all my degrees. I've got four of them in there, or three of them in there, and a ordination certificate. You can look at them all day long. But when you walk by them, it's not like power jumping off of it. It's a piece of paper. Okay? So I think I ought to study. I think I ought to do it. But I'm not trusting in my education for the power of the Holy Spirit. Next, money. Money's power. That's what the world says. Whoever's got the most wins. Okay? That's a money, money, money. What's the Bible say about money? To love it's the root of all evil. So definitely my bank account's not giving me the power of God. But some people are like that. They like to give. And they'll give to this organization, and they'll give to this missionary, and they'll give this. And it does give them a warm, fuzzy feeling. And it is a blessing to those people. But that's not a guaranteed power. Next, political preference. We won! That gives us the power! Mm-mm. If you read 2 Chronicles 7:14, I don't see Donald Trump's name in there. I'm for it. I think he's, you know, a lot better policies than last 4 years. But that's not a guarantee for the power of God. Now, some of the principles, yes, but it's not a guarantee. Oh, now that we've got him in there, we'll be fine. No, if my people, all right, shall humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and pray, then the power will come. Here's another one, and I'm for this. Great military equipment. Man, we could blow anybody off the face of this world if we wanted to, bless God. We got the power. Now, we might have it in the military presence, and I'm glad. But I'm not trusting in that. I'm trusting in God. So we see a lot of this humanity sneaks into Christianity, and I got to have this to get power, and I have to have this to get power. No, we need God. We need the Holy Spirit's power. And that will give us the spiritual power and the Christian power that we need. So we see here the power of God should be on the affairs of men. After that, the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you can be the salt of the earth, and you can be the light of the world. To your kids, to your neighbors, to your family, to your co-workers, to this entire world. That's when I'm going to give you the power, not because you've elevated yourself to this. So search for the power has taken over this world. Right? And all these things, and again, I'm not against any of this, but a lot of people, health, mental health, self-help things, they're focused on that. And again, the Bible says, bodily exercise profiteth little. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I think we need to meditate. I think we need all that. But I'm not looking away around God. This medication, this exercise, this counselor, this, that. No. All right, I'm going to look for God. Another one. You know, we talked about money already. More, you know, whoever's got the most has got the most power. No, they don't. Even in sports, what's the key? Championships. You know, now the college football is just over. Ohio State won it. But you know, then right after it, they start saying, who's got the most? I mean, they won it this year, but who's got the most? Anybody know? Anybody know who's got the most? They're second. They got 16. No. It's a school. I don't even know if they have football. It's Princeton. They got 18. I think it's Princeton. It's one of these schools that don't even have a football team anymore. But back in the way long ago, they won 18. I think it's either Princeton or Yale. I think maybe it's Yale. That's it. Yale. Yale has 18. So anyway, but it's whoever's got the most. It's all about power. And again, as a fan, I think we got four. Here we come. All right. At least we're relevant now. But anyway, it's all about championships. Power, power, power. Even social media these days. And again, we have a church Facebook page. And praise the Lord for people being able to watch on the live stream on Facebook. And I believe Brother Todd puts it on YouTube and things like that. Again, I'm just talking. I have no clue. But again, I'm for it. So I'm not against it. I'm against some of the wickedness that's on there. Yes. But a lot of people, they put it, who's got the most followers? Who gets the most likes? And they're not being the salt and the light just because they got the most followers. They're not being the best because they got the most likes. We've got to not let humanity or the humanity side get into Christianity. So it's crept in over Christianity. So I said all that to say this. Even in Christianity now, they say, who can be the holiest is going to get the power. And it's like a competition. My hair is shorter than yours. My skirt's longer than yours. Who's the holiest? Who's read the most scripture? Who can quote the most? And who could? Again, that humanity slide has slid in there. And I'm for quoting scripture. I'm for looking like a Christian and acting like a Christian. I'm for all that, but I'm not for being a holiness contest or a holiest contest to see who can get the power. That's not what God says. After you get all this holiness in your life, then you shall receive power. No. When you want to be the salt and you want to be the light, in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and the other most parts of the world, your family, your kids, if you want to be a light and a salt to them, I'm going to give you my power. Who's the most separated? Who refuses to comply with the most practices and programs and procedures? There's that Christian part out there that's against everything at work and against everything in society and against everything at work. And I'm against, and that's why I'm powerful. I'm for being against stuff, especially if the Bible says be against it. But that's not a guarantee. You get the power. We see here the generation has broken down or been taken over by Satan, and the nature of itself has flooded it with power. So we see that that's the mindset of Satan. Be the best, be the biggest, be the smartest, be the strongest. Just focus on that, then you'll get the power. No, the Bible talks about humbling ourselves. And the first shall be last, and the last shall be first. And be like Christ, he made himself of no reputation. So all that stuff that philosophy of be the best and be the most and be the, then I'll get the power. No, God says, look, do you want to be the salt and light? Then I'll give you power. So if I stay, and here's another list. If I stay away from liquor, if I stay away from the dance hall, if I stay away from wicked concerts and bad movies and filthy literature, if I'll just stay away from all that stuff, then I'll get the power. And again, I'm for staying away from all that. But that's not a promise. So we see here, just separation from something is not a guarantee to get the power. If I can be saved, if I can get baptized, if I can attend church regularly, if I can read my Bible every day, if I can pray every day, then I'll get the power. And I'm definitely for all that. But none of that's a guarantee of getting the power. So we see here we can quench Him. We can limit Him. We can grieve Him. And the Holy Spirit won't come. So the lack of the presence of any evil and the presence of any good is still not a guarantee for the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm against everything that's bad. I'm for everything that's good. The power's not coming. It'll help. It definitely will not hinder it. But the only way I can get power from God, according to the Bible, you want to be the salt, you want to be there, then ye shall receive the Holy Spirit. So separation is no guarantee. Here's another one, right up my alley. I'm one of those that's separated from pretty much everything. All right? You know, is pastor against that? Probably. All right? But that doesn't guarantee me power. That doesn't make me better than anybody. Okay? It's between me and the Holy Spirit, me and God, you do the same. And here's another one. I'm for this, and with my OCD, I'm definitely for this. Separation is no guarantee for the power. Organization is no guarantee for the power. And some people are like that. I'm that way. You know, I want to, you know, before I change the oil in my car, I want to take everything out of my garage, reorganize everything, get it all back in there, and then, boy, when I pull the truck in there, everything's right where it's supposed to be. I can do it. Okay? Organization. I'm for it. Hey, and I got a verse. 1 Corinthians 14:40. Y'all can probably quote it. Let all things be done decently and in order. So God is the God of order. And we see that there was some things that, you know, you have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you have to believe that He died and was buried and rose again. And you have to, you know, admit you're a sinner. And then you have to accept Him as your personal Savior. That's His order. Can't get it out of order. Then you get baptized. Then you join the church. Then you start tithing. Then you start reading your Bible. And all it's a God of order. I get it. But a lot of people, like myself, is very organized and very dot your I's and cross your T's. That's not a guarantee of power. The lack of organization does not guarantee of power. Okay, I'm not that way, Pastor. I mean, I know right where my, you know, my screwdriver is. If I sent you to the garage to get my screwdriver, you would never find it. But I could walk right out there and pick it up. I've known people like that. I've been in their office and I was like, hey, you got that printout about, yeah. And I'm looking. Stacks. On the floor, and they walk right over there, pick up four books. Here it is. That goes against my brain. So being disorganized is not a guarantee of power. Being organized is not a guarantee of power. So in this Christian realm that we live in, we have organizations, things that help us. All right, Christian schools, home schools, you know, teaches the Word of God. We got Bible colleges. We have meetings everywhere. We have VBS. We have youth rallies. We have missions conferences. We have Bible conferences. We have marriage retreats. We have 3-day revival. We have 5-day revival. We have men's meetings. We have ladies' meetings. We have Baptist bread that we can read out there. We have the Gideons, and we have the Sword of the Lord paper, and we have help books out the wazoo. I don't know what a wazoo is, but we have them everywhere. So that'll help us get organized. But that's not a guarantee of power. I think you should read your Bible every day. All right? Talk about the daily bread. Talks about in the morning. There are all kinds of principles in there. But you say, okay, I made it all the way through January. You know, when the 31st gets here, I read it every day. That's not a guarantee of power. That's being obedient. You're probably going to learn some things. The Holy Spirit's probably going to teach you. And it won't hinder the Holy Spirit. But that's not a guarantee. But if you say, okay, I'm going to take what I read, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to be the salt. And I'm going to take what I read, and I'm going to go out there and be the light. Then God says, aha, I'm going to give you the power. So, if the organization is not a guarantee to get the power, here's another one, third one. Hard work. Hard work. Again, I'm for it. Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And I've seen people like this, all right? He's not the fastest, he's not the tallest, he's not the, you know, this, or she's this, and she's this. But if they'll just work hard, they will supersede. And I've seen it done. The person with a little bit less talent, but worked harder, passed the person with the talent that did nothing. So I'm for it. But that's not a guarantee of the power. So we ought to work hard to be the salt. We ought to work hard to be the light. Martha, the Bible talks about her. I mean, she was a servant. She was all over it. Cooking this and cleaning this and fixing that. So she was doing right. Mary was doing right. Okay? You always have that argument. But that wasn't a guarantee of power. Here's another one. Being busy. Some of us, we have, you know, we have those ledgers and we have our schedules, and man, it's just, man, I just go from one thing to the other, and I'm just busy, and when I get home, and I'm, okay? But that's no guarantee of power. But I'll make this statement now that I've told you all that. Being separated, organized, hardworking, and a busy person is a good thing. It's great. You know, they say that, you know, an idle mind is the devil's workshop, all those things, because they're not busy. If you're not busy doing something, you're going to get in trouble. All right, but again, but it's no guarantee for the power. So we saw that churches may try to put on productions, events, to attract people. But God's plan is for His people to be filled with the Spirit, lift up Him, and He will draw all men. Now, I'm for VBS. We have them. Great one. Right? I'm for youth rallies. We've had them. And we go to them. I'm for missions conferences. We're going to have one in April. I'm for all that. But it's not like if we could just make it to April to that missions conference, we're going to have some power. Not a promise. Not a guarantee. So we can organize. So, searching power, we got to find the source of the power. And the source of the power is the Holy Spirit. It's solely on the Holy Spirit who gives us power to shine, to be the seasoned salt, to promote the interests of God, to be saved, to be convicted, to be overcome Satan. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that gives us that. Acts 2:38 says this, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So, it says here, when you get saved, you get the Holy Ghost in you, the Bible says. Right? You have to ask the Lord to come into your heart. You have to ask the Lord to come in to you to be saved. And that's when you get saved. So, He saved you. The Bible says in Ephesians that He saves and seals to the day of redemption. And He will speak to you and things like that. That's the one that's in you. But the power that we're talking about today is, it says here, when He comes on you. Okay? And once He's in you, He's there. Okay? But if you want the power on you, you have to be the salt and light. So we see here, we can't get any more of the Spirit. He can get more of us. However, we can get the Spirit on us when we have that mindset that I want to be the salt and light. So the source of the Spirit is not an experience. It's not education. It's not talent. It's not personality. The source comes at salvation when He comes in you. And then you decide to do that and He comes on you. So the search for the power, the source of the power. I got two more, so I'm just going to read them to you. The scope of the power. The scope of the power. Those of you that hunt, you might have a scope on whatever weapon, crossbow, rifle. And most of the time, if you can, I've seen people have to wear patches because they can't. But if you can close one eye, you usually look into that scope. And that scope does certain things. So if we're zeroing in on the power, that scope zeroes in on the object. It makes it clearer to see. It shows you every detail. So when that power comes on you, obviously it'll help you be the salt. It'll help you be the light. It'll help you see things clearer. It'll help you see all the details. So our goal is not to have more organization. It's not just to advertise more. It's not just to work harder. It's not just to have more workers or read more books or pass out more tracts or have more meetings, which I'm for all that. But you got to zero in on, okay, if I'm trying to be that and that, God says, I will give you that, the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we look at the scope, it magnifies not me, it magnifies God. And that's what we have to do. The scope of the power, it's not the horse, it's not the cart, it's not the spear, it's not my abilities, it's God. So God is not magnified in just, you know, a lot of people do what we call critical preaching, point out everybody else's faults, other religions' faults, and they just, man, I got them today, I got the power, I don't think so. You might have got them. You might have said some scripture. But just being critical, because the Bible says we're supposed to love one another and pray for one another. Now, I know my job as a pastor, I got to point out if there are people creeping in unawares that's teaching false doctrine, I've got to point that out, but I'm not going to attack them. I'm not going to be critical. So that's not the power. That doesn't magnify God. God is not magnified through our programs. I'm for programs. But it's the individual full of the Holy Spirit power, God working through them. God's magnified. It's not the program that's magnified. God is not magnified through Pharisaicalism. I can do, I've done. It's not God. We want to zero in on that power. So season and shine is when we let the Holy Spirit come upon us. God will be magnified. So the only one who can cleanse us is the Holy Ghost. The only one that can separate us is the Holy Ghost. The only one that can cause us to serve God is the Holy Ghost. Philippians 2:13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. In my own strength, I'm no match for Satan. But greater is He that's in you than he that's in this world. So the Holy Spirit is there. The Holy Spirit, God. But Satan is no match for the Holy Spirit. John 14:26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, when the Father will send in my name, He shall teach you all things. He shall bring all things to your remembrance, and whatsoever I said unto you. So the Holy Spirit, greater is He that's in you than he that's in the world. So we ought to study, to rightly divide the truth, to lost souls, to our children, to our friends, iron sharpeneth iron. We need all that. And we're commanded by the Bible to love and to pray and to be separate from the world and to read and study our Bible and to attend church and to give and do all those things. But we need to do them with one eye closed and focus on God and let Him be magnified, not in our abilities. That's when the Holy Spirit. So we see here the search for the power, the source of the power, the scope of the power, and the last one is the secret of the power. And this is what we can do. I'm for all the things that we talked about this morning. But here's three things that the Bible, it won't grieve the Holy Spirit. It won't quench the Holy Spirit. It will allow Him to come upon you. Because we can have that mindset, and there are some things in our life that the Holy Spirit says, I'm not coming. I'm not being involved. And here's the sermon. First one is this: search my heart constantly. Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my thoughts. Where's my mindset? Is it on being that and that? And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me into the way everlasting. So what I can do is every day, several times a day, if not all day long, search me, God. See if there's any wicked way in here. You got to know my thoughts. You got to know my heart. Please help me to be what you want me to be. If He points something out, obviously 1 John 1:9, it. Confess it. There's other verses. Forsake it. Turn from it. Second thing we need to do is not only should we search our hearts constantly, we should surrender ourselves consistently. Romans 12:2, present your body a living sacrifice. There's several verses in the Bible that says, not my will, but thine be done. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So surrender consistently. And last thing, serve consecratedly. Don't do anything that would promote yourself, because that quenches the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit. Do that which is glorifying to God. So it says here, when we say, God, I want to be the seasoned salt. I want to be the melting salt. I want to be the preserving salt. I want to be the light that shines for you. God says, all right, then ye shall receive power. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. We thank you for all the scripture and all the teaching about the Holy Spirit. Obviously, we know He comes in us when we get saved. But Lord, if we're going to be the right kind of person and the right kind of Christian and the right salt and the right light for this world, He's going to have to come on us. We can't do it in our own. No matter any of those things that we've decided, it'll help us. It's in the Scriptures. We ought to obey you. But the Bible says right there, after you're wanting to go to Jerusalem, after you're wanting to go to Judea, after you're wanting to go to Samaria, after you're wanting to go to the uttermost parts of the world, go to your kids, go to your family, go to your neighbors, go to this community, then you shall receive power. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in an invitation. If you're not saved today and you'd like to be saved, I'll take the Scripture and show you how you can be saved. If you want to pray about anything, the altar is open.